from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, on Saturday, talk show host Rush Limbaugh apologized for calling a Georgetown University law student, Sandra Fluck, a slut and prostitute. A dozen advertisers have now ditched Limbaugh's show in response to the comments, which came after Fluck testified before Congress in support of health coverage for contraception. We discuss the incident and assess Limbaugh's cultural and political influence. That's next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum. Georgetown law student Sandra Fluck testified before a Democratic hearing on the need for health insurance companies to pay for affordable contraception. Radio show host Rush Limbaugh, who is broadcast on 600 stations throughout the United States and has an estimated 15 million listeners, responded by calling Ms. Fluck a slut and a prostitute, labeling her promiscuous and suggesting that it was amazing, given all the sex she must be having, that she could still walk. He went on to suggest that she pay back for free contraception by posting videos of her sexual activities. A firestorm followed. Limbaugh has lost advertisers and been dropped by a couple of stations, with others calling for him to be fired, and he has apologized for, in his words, descending to the level of the left, and added, quote, "I should not have used the words I used. I was wrong," end of quote. A conservative lightning rod and icon to many Republicans, Rush Limbaugh is by some lights too big to fail. Though his ongoing influence, according to a recent article in Forbes, has declined, he remains without question a major influential figure. In this Forum Hour, we discuss the ongoing conflict over Rush Limbaugh, his recent derogatory remarks, and his influence. And joining us first is Terry O'Neill, who's with us from Washington, D.C. She is president of the National Organization for Women, and welcome, Terry O'Neill.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Glad to have you here. And I guess the way to begin is by saying that I read the statement from Now, and they say this is a bully trying to shame a young woman for speaking out, and you want him fired.
We do. We think he should be off the air completely. I am really thrilled that so far two stations have announced that they are dropping his show. I think all the stations, local stations, should drop his show. So far, and I stress so far, Clear Channel has said they will support him. I don't know that that will continue the more he loses advertisers and stations. But it's also true that we view Rush Limbaugh as and his attack on Sandra Fluck as simply one aspect of a larger war against women that has been waged ferociously ever since the 2010 election. So we want him off the air, but he's only a part of a very large pressing problem.
What about the counter argument that this has become too politicized, that you want him off the air because his politics don't square with yours?
No, we want him off the air because he descended to such an extraordinarily low level, making it really not less possible than it has been before to have an intelligent, thoughtful, and civilized discourse about whether birth control should be included in employer-based health plans.
What I'm struck by is the fact that it's the employer or the insurance company that would be paying for this, and that birth control is also used for other kinds of conditions like ovarian cysts and acne and so forth. This didn't even seem to come out in the discourse. It was all tied in with sexuality.
Right, exactly. But Sandra Fluck was in Congress to testify about the importance of including birth control in employer-based and school-based health care plans. And this is what I mean. I mean, Rush Limbaugh has tried to politicize birth control. Actually, there's a whole move to politicize birth control, which is wildly unpopular in the American public. 67% of people think that the Obama administration's accommodation for religious universities and hospitals and nonprofits is the right thing to do. We don't think there should be any exemption for churches or Catholic hospitals or any of it. So we have a disagreement with the White House on that, but 67% of the people that were polled agree with it. They don't want birth control politicized, just like they don't want breast cancer politicized when Susan G. Komen tried to make political hay out of their breast cancer, a nonprofit. So Rush, when, and he really was bullying all young women who dare to step into the public sphere and try to have their opinions heard about some really important issues. And what he was really signaling was, I will viciously attack this young woman, which is what bullies always do, in order to stop an entire class of people from being heard in the public sphere.
You've also mentioned, or at least the National Organization for Women, which you head up, has mentioned that it was a shameful use of his power and had alluded to the fact that he dominates in the Republican Party. Is this really part of your argument?
Oh, absolutely. He is a power broker in the Republican Party, and that really sets him apart from other talk show hosts, whether it's on television or on radio. George Will has recently said that the Republican political leaders are afraid of him. And in fact, he is extremely influential in the entire hierarchy of the Republican Party. And so, you know, for him to be able to stay on the air, dragging the conversation down so far to the gutter where he has dragged it, really speaks badly for the entire Republican Party, frankly.
And his apology on deaf ears?
It was not an apology at all. He apologized for using two specific words, slut and prostitute. He did not apologize for accusing this young woman of engaging in so much sex that, as you say, that she must be having a hard time walking, that she demanded money in exchange for sex, and for demanding that he wanted personally to view videotapes of her having sex. He has not apologized for any of that. So I'm still waiting to hear an apology from Rush Limbaugh.
Do you think that Mr. Limbaugh just may be, so misinformed that he thinks that taking one birth control pill can lead to promiscuity? Or is this just his attempt to be funny?
No, I think it's his arrogance showing through. I think it's not his attempt to be funny. Bullies always say they're trying to be fully when you call them on their inappropriate behavior. I think it's his attempt to throw his weight around and knock out a very compelling testimony to the United States Congress and really to the United States people about the importance of including birth control in employer-based health care plans. This was just Rush throwing his weight around trying to knock Sandra Fluke and other young women off the public stage.
So what is NOW doing specifically to try to knock Rush off the public stage? Are you bringing pressure on Clear Channel, and how are you doing that?
So we have a media hall of shame where when someone really crosses the line, we send out an action alert. We have asked our activists and our supporters to contact Clear Channel directly and tell them exactly what they think of Rush Limbaugh and what he did. There are other organizations within the women's movement that are also taking action. So, for example, Crystal Ball in Northern Virginia has started a website called BoycottRush.org. There are other groups that are urging, urging stations to drop Rush. So, the social media has absolutely taken off on this, and I think that's why so many advertisers so quickly went to drop him.
Terry O'Neill is president of the National Organization for Women, joining us from Washington, D.C., and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Michael. Really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you again. And let me tell you who else is joining us for the rest of the hour. We have Eric Bullard with us. He is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, a progressive media watchdog group. Welcome, Eric Bullard. Do we have Eric Bullard? Well, we'll try to get him back. He's joining us from Montclair, New Jersey. Joining us from outside of Harrisburg in Pennsylvania is Jeff Lord, former Reagan White House political director and contributing editor for The American Spectator. Welcome, Jeff Lord.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And let me get your response to what we just heard from Terry O'Neill. I mean, you obviously are a friend of Rush Limbaugh's, an admirer of Rush Limbaugh's. You would not like to see this force him out. But you've also brought up, some strong remarks about in print about how the left is pretty much guiding this, huh?
Well, they are. Media Matters, it was revealed in the Daily Caller in a series of stories, that this is what they do. And listening to Terry O'Neill, this is exactly what the left is. And frankly, this is the American left today. But the left in general throughout history has been this way. They do not brook dissent. And in this case, this means they are anti-First Amendment and they are anti-religious liberty, which and free speech, both of which are, as you know, adjoining parts of the First Amendment. They want Rush Limbaugh off the air. They do not, however, interestingly, they are not out there campaigning against Ed Schultz, who called Laura Ingraham the S-word. They are not out there campaigning to get Bill Maher off of television because he used words that I'm not even going to repeat on air about Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and this kind of thing. This is not only a double standard, it is more important than a double standard. It is an attack, an assault on free discussion and free speech that is protected in the Constitution.
Is that why you call the folks who are going after Rush Limbaugh and who have gone after Dobbs and Beck and Bachman Stalinists?
Yes, this is exactly what this is. This is a very old tactic. I mean, the American left, as such, obviously is relatively new in history. But the idea of repressing dissent, I mean, you can go all the way back to the French Revolution, and they took people they didn't like to the guillotine. This is the driving impulse here, that we don't like what you said, and we're going to make you pay for it. And in the American tradition today, what this means is if you're on the radio, if you're on television, we're going to get you off because we don't want to listen to you. There's 350 million people, some odd, in this country, and they have a right to free expression. I don't want Bill Maher taken off the air. I don't want Ed Schultz taken off the air. I don't want anybody taken off the air. Those decisions should be made by their audience. And to campaign to take people off the air is a decidedly repressive tactic, and that is typical of the American left.
Well, let's see if we can, for just a moment, separate this from politics or ideology. Would you concede that this was a fairly vicious and unseemly ad hominem attack on a single citizen who probably not only didn't deserve it, but who certainly shouldn't have had it made by someone who has millions and millions of listeners essentially maligning her?
Well, I think Rush's mistake was he descended to leftism, if you will. These are the tactics of the American left all of the time. And as he frankly admitted yesterday, for a moment he descended to the gutter and got in there with him, and he obviously regrets it, and it was a mistake, and he has said so. I noticed your guest said she wouldn't accept the apology. Sandra Fluck said she would not accept the apology. Of course not. This is not what they are about. They want people taken off the air, and they are after him. So, and frankly, as a result of my column and others, there is an enormous backlash here. I mean, my email, as we're just sitting here, is being filled with people who are cutting off their contracts with Carbonite and Pro Flowers and these other sponsors that have dumped Rush, and they are dumping them back, and they are doing real damage to these folks.
Is there a difference, though, Mr. Lord, between, say, public figures like Laura Ingraham and Sarah Palin on the one hand and a private citizen who goes before Congress?
If you're in front of Congress, you're not a private citizen. You know, you're in the spotlight, all the lights are on, you're putting yourself out there as a public figure. That's number one. Actually, that's number two. Number one is just because Laura Ingraham is a public figure doesn't mean she's not a woman. I don't know where it's written that you can call a woman a slut just because she's a public figure. I mean that is just bizarre. That's bizarre.
Well, Ed Schultz also made an apology, and then it seemed to kind of go away. This doesn't seem to be going away, and you think it's mainly because of what's powered by the left?
I think it is powered by the left, and I think now there is a backlash because people are beginning to get the context of this and how the game works, that they go through Lou Dobbs or Glenn Beck or Pat Buchanan or somebody mentioned to me Dr. Laura. I hadn't even thought of that one. The point is that number one, that they will do this with conservatives, and number two, they are very protective. CNN was mentioned this morning as Piers Morgan going after Rush Limbaugh for this. And yet, who does CNN have on five different times but Bill Maher? Is Bill Maher ever asked about his comments about women? Absolutely not. They don't even do that. That's the double standard there. That's what's wrong. And again, I don't want Piers Morgan taken off the air. I mean, if he's got the ratings to survive, good for him. But there is an entire double standard here that is used over and over and over again, and people are sick of it.
There is one other thing that comes to mind, though, memory summons, with respect to the history of Rush Limbaugh and apologies. He called a very young Chelsea Clinton a dog, and he was derogating her looks and so forth. And so there's a kind of history here, isn't there?
Well, to be perfectly candid, I'm not familiar with that one, and if I were, I would address it. But you touch on an interesting point here. Rush Limbaugh is an American fixture, an icon. He's been on the air for 20-some-odd years. His audience knows him well. They listen to him day after day after day, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. At this point, to try and paint Rush as something he isn't is a failure. I mean, it's just going to fail. It is doomed to fail because they know him too well. If he were new in the game, if they didn't know who he were, if he were just building an audience, it might be a different situation. But this is Rush Limbaugh. He's extraordinarily well known. There are differing views about how he approaches things, and I guarantee you most conservatives don't see it the way, you know, is being described here by your guest or a lot of my liberal friends.
Well, Jeff Lord, again, is former Reagan White House political director and a contributing editor for The American Spectator. And Eric Bollard is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. They're a progressive media watchdog group. They have come out very foursquare for, well, removing Rush Limbaugh and talking about this being a smear and misogyny and bullying. And what about Jeff Lord's case that he's making here, Eric Bollard?
Well, it's nice to know Rush Limbaugh is the true victim here. And if he wants, you know, Jeff's point about the liberals not, you know, being afraid of dissent, you know, what part of the demand did Sandra Fluck post sex videos of herself online dissent? What part of Rush Limbaugh suggesting she was using condoms when she was 12-year-old is part of serious dissent? What part of Rush Limbaugh suggesting this law student was having so much sex she could barely walk? And if he were her parents, he would shame and leave the country because her daughter, because their daughter was such an embarrassment to them and the country.
So this is really border. Excuse me. Does this border on? Just let me jump in for a minute.
What part of that is dissent?
Does this border on libel or defamation? As you
described? I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but this is just classic, you know, bullying on steroids. And let's talk about Rush Limbaugh's mistake. Let's talk about his nine-hour, three-day mistake. 52 insults he hurled at this woman, and he wakes up Saturday and realizes he's losing advertisers, and he said, oh, I chose the wrong words. Come on. Everyone knows what's going on here. This is someone who is completely out of control, who has crossed over so many barriers of common sense and common decency, he can't even see the starting point anymore. And to listen to conservatives now claim that Rush Limbaugh is the victim in all this is comical and sad, and it's why we're up to now 23 advertisers, and this thing is not stopping. Rush Limbaugh is in free fall, and if people think just because he's Rush Limbaugh he's going to be on the air, they're not paying attention, and they don't understand what the real issue is here.
What about the examples we heard from Jeff Lord, though, about Bill Maher and Ed Schultz?
Yeah, let's talk about Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz used a sexist slur against Laura Ingraham. He was off the air for a week. He aired a primetime apology, and that was the end of the story. Rush Limbaugh, again, this is 53 creepy, bizarre sexual slurs he hurled at this woman. He goes on the radio yesterday and say, oh, I picked two wrong words. You know, this is not an apology. Why doesn't he take himself off the radio for a week? Because he's an egomaniac and he can't admit a mistake. So yeah, let's talk about how Media Matters and folks on the left immediately called out Ed Schultz and said this and said this is unacceptable. To this day, if you go on the major right wing websites, they have not typed a single word of criticism of Rush Limbaugh and condemnation. They're obsessed with this, you know, left wing conspiracy to silence dissent, all that nonsense. They haven't even taken the time in 6 days to say, Rush, you were wrong.
Hasn't Limbaugh, though, as a kind of titular head of the Republican Party, or certainly its greatest icon, really hurt his own party and
absolutely
hurt them very devastatingly? So that must be cheerful to you, at least, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And that is coming from Republicans saying, my God, why are we having a debate about sluts and birth control? And again, this is Limbaugh is the voice of the Republican Party, and that's why we saw candidates refuse to condemn him in the last couple of days. Mitt Romney talking about it's not the language I would have used. I mean, what? That's sort of become a national punchline. So, right, he's the voice of the Republican Party. But look, the conservative movement, Republican Party, has let Rush Limbaugh do this for 20 years. Talk, you know, the race baiting, the Islamophobia, the gay baiting, all of it. He's gone particularly insane since Barack Obama's inauguration day, and the hate that he spews on a daily basis is just off the charts. Media Matters documents it all the time. But he is the voice, He is the voice of the Republican Party. Fox News is the face of the Republican Party. And a lot of Republicans are looking at this primary season saying, you know what, we can't really win a national election following Fox News and Rush Limbaugh.
Well, Jeff Lord, what about 53 instances with only, according to Rush Limbaugh, two wrong words being cited?
Eric used the word creepy. Let me tell you what's creepy here. I'm going to read you a sentence from a memo in Media Matters memo of September 29, 2009. Quote, "We must take Fox News head-on in a well-funded presidential campaign style to discredit and embarrass the network, making it illegitimate. We're going to hire private investigators to go after Fox hosts. Fox News anchors, hosts, reporters, prominent contributors, senior network and corporate staff. This is what's creepy. This is what the left is all about. I mean, with all due respect to Eric, who died and left him God is to decide what's appropriate speech. It isn't Eric Bolitz's job. That's why we have a First Amendment. If he believed that, then when all those kids back in the 60s were yelling, hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? They should have been, what, all thrown in jail and that was it? I mean, this is what dissent is all about. And the left is terrified of dissent because they have not dominated this.
Not part of dissent. What part of you can't you grasp? This story is beyond your control. This is an avalanche. Limbaugh is in free fall, and pretending that he's not isn't going to change it, Jeff. Pretending this is about Media Matters isn't going to change it.
Well, actually, let me go to Jeff Lord on this, because I mentioned in my introduction that Forbes article talked about his influence being on the wane, and that's the real problem for Rush Limbaugh. He was the fourth most popular celebrity last year, and he is not on the list this year at all.
I mean, in terms of the First Amendment, it's irrelevant whether he's got an audience of 50 million or five people. The point is he has a constitutional right to free speech. And all of these talk show hosts out there, if we're going to go through it, Ed Schultz is still on the air. Why isn't there a push to get on?
Well, so is Don Imus, for that matter, who talked about nappy-headed hoes.
I don't want Ed Schultz taken off the air. He made a mistake. He said he was sorry. He was off the air for a week, and you say it's over. But if we're going to persist in this we need to discuss this. Why are you don't go after these people. You simply don't.
It's not a First Amendment issue as you see it, Eric Bullard? Not at all?
Say it again?
It's not a First Amendment issue in any way as you see it?
Everyone has a First Amendment issue. Not everyone has a First Amendment issue to have a syndicated radio show. Not everyone has a First Amendment right to have Allstate advertise on your show, or AOL, or the 23 advertisers who have looked at this toxic language and saying, why on earth would we want our brand associated with someone talking about law students having so much sex they can't walk? Remember, Sandra Fluck did not mention her sex life in one sentence of her testimony. There were so many things that Rush Limbaugh did not understand about her testimony, it could fill a pamphlet. She never mentioned her own sex life, and yet he spent 3 days, 53 separate insults. This has nothing to do with the First Amendment. He's got a First Amendment to say it, and everyone else has a First Amendment right to not advertise and not listen.
All right. I'm going to have to break in here because we're coming up on a break, and I want to give out the phone number and get our listeners involved, and there are a number of ways that you can be involved in this program. Obviously, you can call us. Our toll-free number, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. So feel free to join the program toll-free again, 866-733-6786. Other ways to communicate your thoughts and join this conversation are by email, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have on our website by going to kqed.org/forum, click on this segment, or you can go to our Facebook page. We'll continue and we'll hear from you. We spoke with Terry O'Neill, president of the National Organization for Women. We've got Jeff Lord on the line here, former Reagan White House political director and contributing editor for the American Spectator, and Eric Bullard, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, a progressive media watchdog group. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about the flap that has centered around talk show host Rush Limbaugh. And by the way, we are not going to Robert Sapolsky next. He was on yesterday. What we are going on to next after this hour is President Obama's press conference. Just to reiterate, Rush Limbaugh apologized for calling a Georgetown University law student, Sandra Fluck, a slut and a prostitute, among other epithets. Now a dozen advertisers have ditched Limbaugh's show in response to the comments, which came after Fluke testified before Congress in support of health coverage for contraception. And we're talking about the incident. And we're also trying to assess Limbaugh's cultural and political influence. We heard first from Terry O'Neill, the president of the National Organization for Women. And the guests with us for the hour are Eric Bollert, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, and Jeff Lord, former Reagan White House political director and contributing editor for The American Spectator. We are going to get you involved in this and become interactive. First, we want to go to Randall Bloomquist, though, who is a veteran talk radio programmer and journalist, most recently served as program director of News Talk 640 WGST in Atlanta. And Randall Bloomquist, good to have you with us. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I guess the place to begin with you is, you know, we've been talking about the fact that Ed Schultz called Laura Ingraham a slut, and Don Imus talked about nappy-headed hoes, and even might mention here John and Ken from L.A. who called Whitney Houston a crack hoe. I hate to be so vivid about this, but I want to get it out there. And the fact is they were all suspended. Limbaugh is not, is he beyond being suspended?
Well, I would have said a week ago, yes, he was. But I will tell you that it has that I have heard today from very reliable sources that there is at least a faction inside of Clear Channel Radio and Premier Radio Networks, which syndicate his show, a group of people who think he does need to be suspended, if for nothing else than to help get past this. Whether or not that opinion will be adopted as policy and he will be suspended, I can't say, but it's just, it really is, it is a statement on the change in his status that that could even be brought up within the company. But again, there are people in the company who think the best way to get on with it and let you know, let things begin to get back to normal would be if he were to go away for a few days.
I'm sure they're arguing over whether to do that or to write it out, but this has become a real firestorm. And you know, when I look back, I remember Rush Limbaugh talking about Michael Fox faking Parkinson's, and I'd mentioned his calling Chelsea Clinton a dog when she was a preteen,
yes.
And also
yes.
talking about Baruch the Barack the Magic Negro back in 2007. None of these also resulted in suspension for him.
Well, here's the difference on all of those, and I think there are two differences. The first one is that, and this was the case with John and Ken down in Los Angeles, who had also been caught up in many controversies, but they ended up being suspended over the Whitney Houston comment, plain and simply because those who were raising objections to the Whitney Houston comments were able to show the company, the radio station, that they could cost them money. None of the opposition to the John and Ken's earlier remarks had ever been able to threaten the revenue stream, but the opponents of John and Ken, when it came to Whitney Houston, were able to say, hey, look, we know for a fact we can cost you these advertisers. They've already told us they're upset and they're willing to get on board with us. That got the company's attention. I think the same thing is true here with Rush. I know he said yesterday on his show that that he had they realized that he had made some poor word choices and had descended to the level of the left and so forth, which sounded an awful lot like a non-apology and a non-explanation to a lot of folks. And I think the fact is because it wasn't the real reason. I think the real reason was he saw this advertiser exodus, and he's a very smart guy. He is a true believer in the free market. I think he believes in what he preaches. I think he's very honest about that, and he's very true to it. And I think that the apology he made on Saturday and any other steps he takes in the coming days will be pure and simply to get his product back in line with what he knows his customers want to buy.
Well, you're with Ron Paul on that, but he's also said, as Rush Limbaugh has also said, and he's actually been, it was pretty funny when he said, I tried to cancel advertising, but I kept getting a busy signal. But he's also said publicly, I don't really need advertising. I have millions and millions of dollars of those who want to advertise with me. And yet, let me finish the thought, Randall. In Forbes magazine, I referenced this earlier, it was pointed out that he is waning in influence, that he's not nearly as popular as he was even a year ago.
Well, I would say this. Rush probably, unless you define how much money is enough by that old Rockefeller line, how much money is enough, just a little bit more, unless you define it that way, sure, Rush doesn't need another dollar.
Well, he wasn't talking personally. He was talking about advertising dollars specifically.
Sure. But his employers do. His employers that have invested hundreds of millions of dollars in the Rush empire, the platform they have provided him. You know, one of the things we tend to forget about these big media personalities, and you kind of saw it with Don Imus, and you see it with local personalities. I'll give you an example right there in your own hometown with KGO. People tend to, fans of radio personalities, or TV personalities for that matter, tend to underestimate the importance of the platform they're on. And so someone may try and replicate the KGO lineup somewhere, but it's not KGO. That magic has been broken, and it's very unlikely it could be recreated at the same level somewhere else. The same thing is true with Rush. He could throw his hands up and say, enough of this, like Dr. Laura did, and say, enough of this, I'm going off, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to create my own media platform, and he probably will be heard, his message will still get out. It will not be on the par that it has been and could continue to be with Premier Radio being on over 600 radio stations across the country.
This is Randall Bloomquist with us from Atlanta, by the way, a veteran talk radio programmer and journalist and former program director of News Talk 640 WGST in Atlanta. You had something else you want to add here?
Yeah. Yeah, I did want to add one other thing, which is, first of all, I wanted to say that I think the two reasons we had a difference here with Limbaugh was, again, first, the money. But the second thing is, and I wish we could, and I hope we can set aside all the ideology and all the politics for a minute and understand.
Probably impossible.
And just get back to what he said. Because I think that's the difference here. It's one thing to call, and I do believe he apologized for the Chelsea Clinton comment. He did call her a dog early in the Clinton administration. I believe he apologized for that. But again, he called her a dog once, and he apologized. We move on. As Eric pointed out, this slut and prostitute thing was mentioned over and over again over several days. Set aside all the ideology, all of the politics, and stop and think about that. Limbaugh's audience consists largely of men, and to a somewhat lesser extent, women, who are in a place in their lives where they probably have 30-year-old daughters. It was just a nasty, mean, horrible thing to say. I think women put it on par with the N-word.
Well, now, what would you, as a program director, do? Would you take Limbaugh off, especially with his high ratings, or you think program directors are going to take him off?
Well, I don't think any stations are going to. I don't think he'll lose affiliates in a significant way, and there are a lot of reasons for that. One is because everyone is still hoping this will pass and will be just a unfortunate bump in the road, and that there'll be another 10 or 15 years of good revenue and ratings from Rush. So I think they're sort of buckling in and hoping to get through this. You might see stations that were already considering dropping him for other reasons use this as an excuse to drop him. I understand, I saw a report somewhere that a station in like Hilo, Hawaii had dropped the show. But I don't think you're going to see top 50 markets drop the program. You just won't.
Right now it's the one in Hilo and one up in Massachusetts, and I think that's it, at least from the last reports we had. And Randall Bloomquist, I want to thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Randall Bloomquist, again, veteran radio programmer and journalist, and was most recently with 640 WGST in Atlanta. Let me actually go to some emails here before I go to your calls and just get a flavor of what people are saying. Aaron writes, please remind Mr. Lord that the right forced Bill Maher off the air 10 years ago for saying that 9/11 terrorists weren't cowards. If this is a leftist tactic, the left does not have a monopoly on it. Chris writes, what Rush said is obviously sexist, arrogant, morally corrupt, but forcing him off the air would only make him a victim, just as the vibrant Republican primary has opened numerous closets full of skeletons. This latest display of true colors from the right is ultimately good for revealing the truth about their real agenda. Don't hush them up. Take the high ground and let them dig their own holes deeper. Another listener writes, Rush Limbaugh is not expressing free speech. He's expressing hate speech. There's a difference. And on our website, a listener writes, someone needs to remind conservatives like Mr. Lord that free speech is only protected against restriction by the government under the First Amendment. That Ms. O'Neill is encouraging private broadcasters and advertisers to give Limbaugh a commercial platform, and that is not something he is entitled to under the First Amendment. Conservatives have engaged in similar public pushback against people on the left as well. Another listener, Craig, says Limbaugh's been tweaking the noses of puffed-up prigs on both sides of the political spectrum for 25 years. Nobody's touched them. Meanwhile, pipsqueaks like Schultz, Oberman, and Malloy, truly vile personalities without a trace of redeeming wit, how do you really feel, nip at his heels. You don't have to like him or even agree with him to conclude that Rush is the consummate trickster. Tank says, for anyone, including Mr. Limbaugh, to pretend that men don't receive a benefit from women having ready access to chemical birth control, both in terms of sexual gratification and a lack of consequences, is ludicrous. And let's go to your calls, and let's begin with Beth. Good morning, Beth. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm a Mormon. I have four children. I'm 30. I would, by all accounts, probably called conservative, which kind of is a sour term these days to me. And I was appalled and disgusted and offended by the comments of Rush Limbaugh. And I did sign the petition to say that I don't want to support him. And I think that the guest you had earlier that was saying it's a matter of free speech, well, that's my right to free speech, too, to say I vehemently disagree with him. And he does not represent me or what I believe. And I think it's dangerous when we have people who the argument that he's putting forward, no matter what, to use that kind of language and those descriptions, it's disgusting. And I think that both the right and the left are so quick to defend each other. Oh, well, they weren't saying this. They were only meaning this. I think this was wrong. And I don't listen to Bill Maher either for the same reason. It's disgusting the extent to which they're willing to go to prove their point.
Beth, let me
ridiculous.
Thank you for those remarks. I want to get Jeff Lord's response to them because we actually heard from Randall Bloomquist, who clearly also is a fan of Rush's. We're hearing from a young lady now who may be a kind of putative conservative. And you're getting a lot of this kind of response from people who are not on the left, that these were just morally reprehensible and unconscionable, degrading comments.
Well, there's a lot of other response coming in. First of all, let me just say to your caller's point, first of all, I don't want to cut off her free speech. She has a right to protest, petition, do whatever she wants. The point is audience ratings should be deciding this thing, not, one person, not the Eric Bolitz of the world who counted 53 insults. I mean, that's Eric Bolitz's opinion. I mean, the audience is what decides. And if the audience listens to Rush or Ed Schultz or anybody else, that's the deciding factor here. As we speak, I have an email from a woman who says that she owns a company and she was about to sign up with Carbonite, and she's cutting him off because of what they've done to Rush. And she says about Sandra Fluck, the woman in question is not a courageous and well-intentioned young lady, as the head of Carbonite claims. She's a dishonest fake who does not speak for me or for most women in our nation. Well, what that is a difference of opinion. I can tell you I have hundreds of these things that have come into me in the last 24 hours, hundreds of them. And people are cutting off these sponsors left and right. So there is a considerable difference of opinion here. There is more going on than meets the eye, and we'll see what happens.
Well, let me go to Gary because he wants to speak to – well, actually, Gary, you have a question about the sponsors. Go ahead.
Well, I'm neither left nor right, but I am a man and a gentleman and someone who abhors anything that teaches that bullying – teaches our kids that bullying is okay. So I think what he did was an insult to all three of those categories, and I'd like to know – I'd like to hear who the sponsors are that are still backing him.
Yeah, go ahead on that, Eric Bollard. Where do we see sponsors still backing him, and what kind of pressure is being brought to bear?
Well, Media Matters just posted an update. He's now lost 28 advertisers since Friday. He's clearly going to hit 50 by the end of the week. Rush Limbaugh hasn't lost 28 advertisers in the last 20 years he's been on the radio. I can guarantee you that. The people have tried to target him. They've been upset about what he said in the past. Nothing in his career can match what he's experiencing now. So this will continue the snowball effect. Danny Deutsch, who's an advertising executive, has a talk show. He was on either CNBC or NBC this morning, saying advertisers don't have a choice. Presented with this evidence, presented with the scenario, they have to stop advertising with Rush Limbaugh. You know how much money women consumers spend in this country? Peter, or the famous advertising executive Ogilvy said, "They're not women; they're your customers. They run this. They run this consumer economy. You put in front of them the evidence of what Limbaugh did for 3 days, 9 hours last week about someone's daughter. It's no contest. So this is just the beginning." The snowball is in effect. I was very interested in Randall's comment about discussions inside Clear Channel about taking Rush Limbaugh off the air. If they knew what was best for Rush Limbaugh, he would not be on the air this week. That may have saved some of this. I think his ego's too big to do that. And now, again, he is in free fall.
All right, we'll get another caller on, and it's George from Woodstock, New York. Join us. You're on.
Hi, how are you? I'm first-time caller, actually, to NPR. I'm a registered Republican, and I actually find this debate pretty fascinating. I did vote for Obama in the last election. I regret that now, but I'd like to take the politics out of this and completely agree with the last two callers that called in. This shouldn't be an issue that powers either the right or the left mantra, and I know that Rush has a right-leaning agenda, and I think he has a right to push that. But I think what he said was absolutely vile, and I don't appreciate the Bill Maher's of the world or anyone else for that matter that crosses the line. I think they have a social and a public responsibility as people that are making a lot of money from the advertisers that are powered by their listenership to uphold the debate and to actually say things that are intelligent and well-researched. And there were a lot of people that spoke in testimony in Congress that day when the young attorney from Georgetown law came up, and she was the only one that he picked on, and he didn't speak at all about her testimony. He spoke specifically about her sexual agenda. So I'm going to take my I'm going to listen off of line. Thank you so
all
much.
All right, I'm going to let those comments stand. I think they're editorial, and I'm just advisedly going to go on to another caller. And that's you. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, it seems to me that, you know, we're talking about money, we're talking about, you know, advertising and all this other stuff, and First Amendment right to say, you know, what you want. But nobody's ever touched on the responsibility that we have to use this right in a responsible fashion. And it's becoming pervasive across this country of people misusing our rights in order to further their agendas. And it just, I would like some discussion on this, and I will listen off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let me go to you, Eric Bullard.
Well, you know, broadcasters have a responsibility, and it's not just up to Clear Channel to decide whether Rush Limbaugh should have taken the week off. The AM, FM airwaves belong to the public. I mean, people forget that, but they're essentially rented by FM and AM broadcasters. There is a responsibility. Broadcasters decades ago used to take it much more responsible. Unfortunately, I think most of talk radio today is completely irresponsible, and Rush Limbaugh is the poster boy for that.
Let me read some more of your comments from the web. Here's a listener who says, Rush Limbaugh accused a college student of being a prostitute. That is not an opinion. It is an accusation of a crime in a public forum. That is slander and is not protected by the First Amendment. He should be prosecuted. What do you say to that, Jeff Lord?
Well, it's baloney. I mean, I can't believe these people actually heard what he said. I heard what he had to say in context. Now, what Rush does is you know, make the absurd seem more absurd by illustrating things with absurdity. And the whole notion here that this young woman was coming forth with was that somebody else should pay for the sex lives of the women at Georgetown or wherever. And
which we should remind listeners, forgive me, is a Catholic university.
Exactly. Now, again, this comes down to a fundamental attack on religious liberty. There is no conservative that I know, no conservative I've met, and I've met or worked for most of the famous ones of the last quarter century, who are out campaigning on a proposal of getting rid of contraceptives. I don't know anybody who does oppose contraceptives. Rick Santorum, in his private views, does, but he has voted for contraception, to have the federal government pay for contraception.
in the federal government. I mean, this is a bogus issue, and the reason it is because the left needs to have a bad guy here. This is how they proceed. I mean, Eretz Media Matters, they go out there, and this is these now leaked memos here. They need an enemy, they said. They need to George W. Bush was gone. We really don't have John McCain to kick around. We need to have an enemy, and so they were going to target Fox News. So now it's Rush Limbaugh. This is what they do. This is their thing.
Well, along with your reasoning, Jeff Lord, is a comment here from a listener named Terry, and I want to get Eric Bowler's response to this. Terry writes, on today's Morning Edition story on the Limbaugh incident, it was proffered that one of the reasons for the traction on this story is Rush's importance and influence on conservative listeners. In doing so, it was implied that other objectionable comments from both the left and the right were not given the same attention because commentator was not important enough. It is this sort of blind rationalization of the liberal bias and the lamestream press that annoys more and more of us. Even a cursory examination of events of this ilk would show that the press goes into a feeding frenzy when the source is a conservative, especially if race is involved, and remains mum to even the most outrageous statements when given by a liberal. Bill Maher's comments on Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. I have little doubt this show will be more of the same. Thank you for that confidence. Instead of demonizing Rush, he goes on to say, however, can someone on your panel please explain why taxpayers must subsidize the sex life of a co-ed who is actually a shill? And you would say what, Eric Bowler?
I would say that on Twitter this morning, I offered a challenge to any conservative who can find a liberal pundit who spent 9 hours over 3 days launching a creepy, bizarre smear campaign against a young woman's sex life. Please send me that link immediately. Please, I'm begging you. I have gotten literally 250 emails that have told me Bill Maher did the same thing. Ed Schultz did the same thing. Keith Olbermann did the same thing. Baloney. The reason this hit a chord, and it didn't hit a chord with the left, it didn't hit a chord with Media Matters, this blew up nationwide because it's vile and it's disgusting and because nobody on the right will condemn it.
But you use the word creepy again, and Jeff Lord had said that it was creepy for Media Matters to go after broadcasters on Fox and say they were going to have them stalked by detectives in the law.
Yeah, and that we never did that. That was an internal memo as a suggestion. None of that was ever done.
An internal memo, Eric? So, I mean, the fact that
why do we have internal memo?
Doing that.
Why do we
what?
Have internal memos?
No. Why would something like that even make an internal memo? That because I'll tell you why. Because that's your mindset. This is your mindset.
Our mindset.
This is a totalitarian mindset,
yes.
And this is what you do.
Yes, we made Rush Limbaugh call this young woman a slut. We made her call her a prostitute. We made Rush Limbaugh suggest that she was using condoms was 12 years old. You have figured us out. Again, the reason this hit a nerve is it's disgusting, and Rush Limbaugh is an incredibly influential figure in the Republican Party.
And I want
you
to get
put
to
those
another...
two things together, and that is a news story.
I want to get to another caller. Christopher, thanks for waiting. Join us. You're on.
Paul, thank you for taking the call. You know, in full disclosure, I want to tell you that I am conservative, but I did vote for Obama, and I do not regret that choice because he represented the reasonable choice during that election. And that's what I speak to, with a sense of reasonableness.
And we should mention, excuse me, Christopher, that his main opposition, Senator McCain, has come out very forcefully in strong words against Rush Limbaugh's words, if you will.
That's very true. Yeah, thank you. But this is what I speak to, is the reasonableness of the conversation. I so disagree with the conservative guest you have on your show. And, you know, the raising the specter of communism and Stalinism in response to this episode, it would be laughable if it wasn't such a pitiful strategy to try to use to sway the argument. The bottom line is I don't want Rush Limbaugh taken off the air because he's a counterweight to the political process. What I do want is for him to make a humble, sincere apology with contrition and then carry on with the discussion on the issues. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the call. And on we go to Panama City, Florida. Paul, your call. Hi.
Good morning. I'll be brief. 2 points. Churches aren't being forced to hand out birth control pills, and women aren't being stopped from being able to buy birth control. The issue is actually about whether or not a government has the right to force a business to provide a service, and the Republicans they listened to the religious right, so they've lost the argument. About Rush, I'm going to say what somebody always says during these things, why are we giving him more publicity? You know, Napoleon said, never interrupt an enemy when he's making a mistake. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, and here are more comments on our web. Eric writes, I've been a Republican for almost 30 years in the party, and conservative movement in general has been taken over by religious fanatics, no different than the Ayatollahs of Iran. When they even attempt to justify calling a young woman these vile names, then they have completely lost touch. I'm changing parties after this election. And Rick says, I'm a fiscal conservative Republican, believe that the left is very resistant to open debate. Think of all the colleges and universities where people like Israeli leaders, Condoleezza Rice, and others are shouted down. I am not a Rush fan and do not listen to his loud advertisement-filled show. I'm sure that there are many thoughtful people of many flavors who are under the conservative tent. Think log cabin Republicans. We are certainly not a monolith. The left, especially in the liberal big cities, are hugely intolerant of conservative thought. We are made to feel stupid, uneducated, bigoted, and intolerant. And I want to get another caller on here. And that's Hannah. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you.
I'm very proud to say that I'm a liberal. I'm very proud to say I'm a feminist. I am completely disgusted by Rush Limbaugh's comments. However, the thought that we would censor him, you know, it's one thing to pull advertisers. It's one thing for listeners to say, we are not going to listen to this crap because it offends my ears. But the thought that someone should actually censor him and actually forcefully remove him from the air is completely counter everything this country stands for. So I think, you know, yes, be disgusted, yes, be appalled, yes, be outspoken, but let's make sure that we know what we're talking about and that we're not completely taking away all Americans' First Amendment rights in the process.
All right, Hannah, I thank you for that call. It's going to be the last call because I want to get final statements from our two guests here. Jeff Lord, why don't you go first?
I would just say that this is a fundamental attack on the First Amendment, on free speech, and in terms of the contraceptives, on religious liberty. No one I know opposes the use of contraceptives. You can get them anywhere. God bless America. No one that I know on my side of the line, and actually I take that back. Well, let me just say a couple of your callers said that some conservatives have campaigned to shut down this, that, or the other person. And I totally oppose this for exactly the same reason. We have to protect everybody's rights because eventually this stuff will come down to someone you do like, and you don't want to be going in that direction.
Okay,
and that's why we have a First Amendment.
Thank you for that, Jeff Lord. One final word from you, Eric Bullard.
If this is the First Amendment, this is the most bizarre First Amendment case I've ever heard. And if the right wing wants to turn Rush Limbaugh into some sort of free speech martyr because he bullied this a young woman about her sex life for 3 days, be my guest. He has become a laughingstock. If you were watching late night TV last night on any channel, Rush Limbaugh is now a laughingstock. And if they want him as their free speech martyr, be my guest.
I thank you, Eric Bullard from Media Matters. I thank Jeff Lord, contributing editor for the American Spectator. Thanks also to Terry O'Neill, president of National Organization for Women, who joined us earlier on, and Randall Bloomquist, a veteran talk radio programmer and journalist who also joined us in this program. And thank you, our listeners. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and to our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Howard Gelman, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, who believe all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.